listening to Fox Sports Radio. This is Straight Outta Vegas. With the voice of Vegas, your host, RJ Bell. The pregame show America has always wanted. I doubt the future. I doubt the future. From the Vegas Strip, here's RJ Bell.
Yes, that's right. I'm RJ, live from Las Vegas, broadcasting on 225 Fox Sports radio stations across this great nation. Some of you might think it's Monday. I almost think it's Monday. No. No, first thing we're going to teach you, it's Tuesday. Yeah, right after Memorial Day. In studio, taking some initiative. Usually it's Monday, Wednesday, Friday, but he said, listen, I got Monday off. I'm coming in on Tuesday. Steve Fezzik. Steve, tell us a little bit about your contemplation coming in.
My contemplation? Can you clarify that about being here?
You're not supposed. You're not obligated to be here on Tuesday. You decided to be here on Tuesday. If you were honest, you would tell us something other than, well, listen, I'm a worker, baby, and I didn't work Monday, so I figure I'll work Tuesday. Now, that we know is a lie. So how did your contemplation go about deciding to come in?
The big picture is I come in on average 3 days a week. Yes. And I thought if I got Monday off and I don't come in on Tuesday, that after having the whole weekend off, well, that would not be the sign of a hard worker.
So what you're saying is it wasn't so much you wanted to be here. It was that you would get a lot of grief if you weren't here.
Correct. And now, rightfully so.
Now, that's the honesty that I insist upon.
That's the rule, right? The number one rule. Keep it honest.
Sports bettors listen for the money. Sports fans, so they know more than their buddies. Now, we're pros. He's a Joe. He's Jonas Knox. But I have a question. Him in Los Angeles. How'd the show go yesterday? I had my alarm set, but I slept through it. How did Straight Out of it? Was it properly branded?
Well, it wasn't as much Vegas as probably necessary, but we understood, and Dan Byer and myself both made a conscious effort to stay away from the Vegas aspect and give out advice because we didn't want people to lose a bunch of money in a pandemic.
But we could have made it where it's like, hey, guys, this is fade material. It could be like fade. It could be an annual Memorial Day tradition that you just fade the quote unquote Joe advice. But OK, let's get started today.
Yeah. And RJ, on a day in which leagues are trying to figure out a plan to move forward, you've got the NFLPA telling the NFL to slow down with their plans on a season. What is the Vegas lead here on a Tuesday?
Yeah, to me, the Las Vegas lead is that we actually have a tangible plan. And some of you might not call this a major league. I wouldn't call it a major league. I'm an anti-hockey guy. I mean, I'm just not neutral. I'm anti. Because you get those hockey fans. You ever notice this? They're fanatical. And then they seem to not know anything about any other sport. Meaning, there's baseball fanatics that are much more fanatical about it than I am. But they're usually baseball and football, baseball and NCAA basketball. Like, the hockey guys seem to be hockey or nothing. And to me, that makes me feel like they're the other. There's some other that I don't necessarily want to associate with. Jonas, have you ever noticed that the hockey fanatics aren't really fans of the other sports?
It's a different breed.
It is. I think they're called Canadians.
And I love hockey, but, you know, I love every other sport as well, too. So,
well, yeah. So when you say you love everything, it means you love nothing. You just, it's all
I
the
really
same.
Like everything. Yeah, I really like everything.
And you ever notice that, Fez, that the hockey batters are like, it's hockey or nothing? I mean, it doesn't seem like there's a hockey fan that also loves the NFL.
Yeah, and the fans are so passionate about their game, but they don't care about the other sports.
I think why they're so passionate is they understand deep in their hearts it's stupid, and that's you either got to quit or you got to go all in.
I tell you what, you try.
You're either raise or fold, Steve, sometimes.
Yeah, and I try to call. So I go to a hockey game. I try to leave early. beat traffic in L.A. This was back in the late 90s. These Kings fans, they're like screaming at me. What are you doing? You're leaving early.
I was in Chicago. What's it been now? 7 years, I think, ago, the summer they won the Cup. I was there the night they won. You know, the wife and I were there. That's where we took our honeymoon. I love food, you know. So there you
go. Good city. Yeah.
Yeah. And it was the night. I remember we were seeing Godfather 3, the only time I've ever seen it, except for when it's originally released, Christmas night or Christmas Day, I guess, way back in, I think, 91. It was the only other time I saw it on the big screen, meaning even advertised. We went to it. By the way, if you hate Godfather 3, rewatch it. It's a meme. This whole it was horrible. No, it's not horrible. It's just it's probably like the 12th best movie made of the year. Doesn't mean it's up to 1 and 2. Godfather 3 is not bad. I'll talk about a hot take, but the crowd. I tell you, the hockey fans were going crazy. I don't like it, but I think the fact that they are taking the initiative and they've got a plan means it has to lead.
Yeah, and NHL Commissioner Gary Bettman announced earlier today that the league will have a 24-team playoff format if they're able to resume play. The regular season is over. They'll go straight into the playoffs. Two hub cities will host the games, and training camps will start no earlier than July 1st.
All right, good rundown of the facts. Let's go with a few more. And to me, these are the questions, as we try to assess the wisdom of this. So the first four seeds get a bye in each conference, but they're not going to rest. That'd be absurd. Huh? They're going to play each other. So the number one plays the number 4, 3, and 2 in a round robin. And then the seedings are going to be dictated 1, 2, 3, and 4 by that round robin tournament. I've never, ever seen before in any event, and let me ask you guys, where there's a bye, but there's not really, they're playing amongst themselves. The theory of a bye is you get to rest. Now, again, I get it. Since these are best 3 out of 5, the play-in round, so when 5 through 12 play each other, it's a best of 5. That could take 2 weeks, right, or whatever it is in hockey. I don't watch it, so I don't know. But I get you don't just want them resting more, but they're playing each other, but the stakes are so low. Steve, are they good? Meaning if you're the 1 seed or the 2nd seed or the 3rd seed, not that you wouldn't care, but you got your bye, and we'll call it bye in quotes anyway. Do you show anything?
Business decision. I make sure everyone stays healthy, and I play 4 lines, and
it's almost like, you know what it's like? It's like the All-Star game in baseball dictating who's home team in the World Series. You'd like to have it, but I don't see a lot of teams like obsessed. I don't see teams obsessed over it at the All-Star break.
I agree, and let's face it, hockey is different than
the
NBA. Yeah, the 8 seed can beat the 1 seed. There's not that much of a differential in the NBA. You'd really want that 1 seed so you can play a below 500 team in the first round if they were reseeding. But
yeah,
in hockey,
so,
no big
right.
edge.
So you're making an interesting point. You have more 8 seeds, for example, do well in hockey than basketball by far.
Yeah.
The two advantages of being the 1, let's say, over the 4 is you'd play, in theory, an easier first round. But once you got to the main 4, you'd have home ice advantage. Did you notice how I knew ice advantage?
See? That was good.
Yeah. Uh-huh. I mean, I know a lot of hockey. I'm just not going to act like I do. Well, I'm joking. So, Jonas, you loving hockey, and this is RJ straight out of Vegas, do you see this 1, 2, 3, and 4 mattering this much, or do you see it being something that isn't worth the hubbub?
It feels a little goofy. There's no home ice advantage. These are going to be played in 2 different locations.
Oh, you make a good point.
Yeah.
That's an interesting. There is no home ice advantage. So the fact that new home ice was actually wrong. So all it would be is you're playing a lesser team in theory.
Yeah, that's it. So this is
in
based
the first
on
round.
Seeding. Yeah, this is based on seeding. And I think that maybe players and coaches will like the idea of not just rushing into the playoffs and you're cold and you don't have any exhibition games. So maybe those top 4 seeds, it'll give them some reps against really good competition and kind of get their juices going a little bit. But
then it should be an exhibition game then.
Yeah, that's why it doesn't make a whole lot of sense.
And what you're saying actually makes a ton of sense, except if you extend it, it actually contradicts the idea that the other eight, those that are playing for four spots, are starting playing for their lives. It's a best of five. So if the first game is, by Jonas's account, well, they're going to be a little rusty. They're going to play themselves. Then why in the heck would that first game for the other eight teams in the conference, the other 16 teams overall, that are all playing for half as many seeds, right? So overall, there's going to be 16 teams in the first round playing for eight to advance, right? Best of three. If the game should matter a lot early, that makes sense. But then the one through four playing each other doesn't. If Jonas is right and early is going to be rusty, then why are the highest stakes games of the season for those 16 teams looking to play in happening right then? It feels like you can't. In a weird way, they're contradicting each other with this.
Yeah.
Now, that said, I'm happy it's happening. I'm happy they've taken the initiative. I heard NHL was going to be tougher just because you got multiple countries.
People traveling from overseas get back to the U.S. restrictions.
That's a good point, is a lot of hockey players are from Europe and et cetera. So the fact that the most complex logistically maybe league to come back, hockey, is the first with a plan, that's kind of another indictment about the NBA. And to me, and by the way, we did some research on this. We can't find the answer. When we do, if everyone has it, you can tweet me at RJ in Vegas. They don't know yet if they're going to reseed or not. So the theory is, you know, you're going to reseed amongst the 1, 2, 3, and 4, right? There's going to be some seed that comes out of that round robin with those four teams, 1, 2, 3, and 4. No home ice, but 1, 2, 3, and 4. But then amongst the 5 through 12, whatever four emerges from there, is it going to be like a tournament? If 16 beats one, like in the NCAA, that 16 ends up playing 8-9 winner, you know that? Or are they going to reseed and say the worst team has to play the number one seed based on your seeding coming in? Jonas, have you seen that specifically? We couldn't find it.
I haven't seen it specifically. It would make the most sense, since there is no home ice, that the lowest seed plays the highest seed. I don't know that you just go, because then what's the point of even giving a rip about playing the round robin for the first four seeds?
Well, I'm wondering about that.
Yeah.
I'm wondering about But there is the no theory, advantage. And you make a great point implicitly, is not knowing where you have to travel. One of the reasons they don't reseed things is you got to plan ahead to know where you're going to go.
Yeah.
And your point is, if you're all in the same place, what's the difference?
Yeah, doesn't matter.
It's an interesting point. Now, I also hear some theory that Vegas might be in the mix for this, either as one of the two locations, or they still don't know if the Stanley Cup would be in a different location, but it might be a neutral like Vegas. We're not sure. We'll talk about that if and when it happens for sure. I'm RJ Bell, straight out of Vegas. Last question, Jonas. And you know what we'll do? Let's tease this one. I believe the following, and you're in California, so you speak for California. That's the, you know. I believe the hypocrisy that wherever you are on the political spectrum, all right, doesn't matter for this. State of New York has been obviously hard hit by this coronavirus, COVID-19. And they've fought their way out of it. You know, we played the New York nurses and all that, getting their cheers. I mean, to me, the way the country came around, New York City, remember in the 2016 election, there was a lot of controversy where Ted Cruz said, Donald Trump has New York values. And then it's like country versus city. And to me, 9/11 obviously is an example where this country doesn't care about New York values or not, or country values. We're American, you know, at some point we're Americans. Now, where that line is different for different people. Where that line is, where it's not partisan politically, but we're one country, I think has evolved over time and things have gotten more partisan. But I think that controversy about New York values really showed, even in 2016, that we're Americans ultimately. And no, I have not heard one person ever say, oh, New York, they deserve 9/11 with those big city values. It's just not the way even the extreme people tend to think. So I love the way that the country came together for New York. All that said, it both in 9/11 and also as being the hotbed of COVID-19. But there's no doubt that there was a political element to where the governor of New York's handling it one way, who's a Democrat, president is a Republican. And I think California fit the bill as, you know, Democrat as a governor who was, you know, let's say critical of the federal government. It wasn't that long ago, and here's the question, that California was talking about August 1 and saying the science will lead us, the science. And then it was like 3 days later when the money, when the business side of things spoke and said, oh, you think August 1 makes sense? We don't. And then lo and behold, the science somehow changed, and all of a sudden California and New York are opening up in a way that's quicker than it seemed like even a day or two before. So my question for Jonas, who represents California, on the ground, what really happened? Because we're not a political show, but to me, what I find so exciting, and we'll get the answer when we come back, what I find so exciting is that sports can be so powerful that it can cause such a roundabout from politicians. They can say one thing on Tuesday and another thing on Friday, and the power of the fans is what dictated it, and we'll see what Jonas thinks from the ground.
That's coming up next, but first, Straight Out of Vegas is brought to you by AutoZone. AutoZone has more ways for you to get what you need when you need it. With their free same-day pickup, you can place your order online and grab what you need today at more than 5,700 AutoZone locations, in-store or curbside. Visit AutoZone.com today to start your job fast. Get in the zone. AutoZone, he's RJ Bell. I'm Jonas Knox. This is the pregame show you've always wanted right here on Fox Sports Radio.
Straight Out of Vegas!
Be sure to catch live editions of Straight Out of Vegas weekdays at 6 p.m. Eastern, 3 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
I'm RJ Bell. We are Straight Out of Vegas.
And I'm Jonas Knox, voice of You, the Fan. Coming up here in just a couple of moments, we will find out the real story behind a change of an idea for one entire state.
And I've got something coming up after Jonas answers for California. He has to answer for got to answer for Santino, Carlo. But I got a surprise after that. That is, I think it's the biggest thing from last week that people aren't talking about. There was something on the Herd that Rick Bucher said. To me, it's a game changer to everything we've talked about the last couple months. And everyone missed it, I think. I'm going to see what Jonas thinks, because I didn't want him to even know what we were talking about beforehand to get his gut feelings. Great day to join us. We are the fastest growing show on Fox Sports Radio. Audiences more than doubled in the last year, and you have a ton to do with that. Thank you so, so much. You can listen on 225 FSR stations on your dial across this country. Right now in Vegas, 99 degrees. Now, we have Steve Fezzik about the neon. You had some report about June 4th?
Yeah, Nevada governor is targeting.
So today is, when's June 4th?
Week from Thursday.
Holy cow, like 10 more days.
Nine.
Nine more days, and they're targeting that.
Yes.
So that means, is that the governor? Hey, we want to give California grief. We maybe should give some grief here. Is saying that's a possibility?
Probable that's going to be the startup day for casinos.
Why is it? He doesn't have any right to dictate that. He should be. It's one thing for a governor to dictate generally. Okay, these types of, you can't just look at one industry and say, you guys, I'm going to make wait a week because you didn't give enough money to my campaign. Does that seem right?
I wasn't in on the meetings.
Well, we know that. You don't leave your palatial estate. All right, the neon's still off, and I got to tell you, I'm not going to warn the governor directly. What's his name? Sisolak or something?
Sisolak.
Yeah. Let's just say this. If June 4th isn't the day, it's time to open up open warfare. He won't, I can tell you this, he won't like it. A lot of people have found that out. He will not like it. You got my promise. RJ Bell says the following. If the casinos are not giving, now, if the casinos decide not to open, then we'll have a discussion. But me and Sisolak are going to have, maybe not a personal discussion, maybe not. But he'll know. All right, Jonas.
So, RJ, California seems to be speeding up their plans for reopening, and sports look like their facilities are starting to be reopened. They announced earlier today phase three of Governor Newsom's, setup.
Oh, we're already in phase three?
Yeah, already in phase
two. Phase two went pretty fast, it seems like. People
can get haircuts now immediately, according to Governor Newsom.
The real question is, are you back at the gym?
No.
When's that going to happen?
I have no idea. That's
another
phase.
Your face is looking a little full. Maybe you're growing the beard out.
I think it's the beard. I think it's the beard. But the gyms have not opened up yet. If that's part of another phase, I've lost track of how many
there's
phases
some,
there
There's
are.
Some phase. It's like DEFCON 5, 4. Yeah. But here's the question. It sure did move kind of fast after all the other states said, come on in to the sports teams, didn't it?
Yeah. It's I think when the report came out and we talked about it, when they announced the end of July, that most likely the end of July, people went public, celebrities, people were really upset
about it.
Joe
Rogan, yeah. Adam Carolla.
Yeah. Even these are people that, I know Adam Carolla, I think he's a conservative.
I think both those guys are somewhere near. I mean, I'd say, again, I did Carolla's show for 2 years, right? Always personally very nice to me. I think it's fair to say he's on the conservative side, but if the spectrum were 1 to 100, with 100 being the arch conservative and 0 being the most liberal, Adam maybe, from what I can gather, 60, 65. He's not extreme, right? I think he's on that side of the equation. I think Rogan probably more, and again, I listen to Rogan a lot. I'd say he's like 40. I'd say he's a little less than average. But they're more business guys. I tell you the thing about Adam, for example. Adam is and was a pioneer in podcasting. It's easy today to say, oh, look, Rogan just signed a deal that, from what I hear, is massive money for Spotify, right? So he's going to evolve over to there. Yeah, someone offers you, and I don't know the exact numbers, but I know some people that kind of winked at me in regards to the numbers. We're not talking $1 million or $2 million. We're talking way more.
$100 million.
Right? How much?
I heard $100 million.
Okay, let's say that's generally right. Wow, a podcaster making a tenth of a billion, 100 sticks. All right, just not to do anything different. Just let us play your talking over here.
That's Fezzik money.
I mean, that's more even than Fezzik money.
That's DAC money.
And to me, nowadays, if you don't have a podcast, and let's give a lot of credit, iHeart making big initiatives with podcasts. They're spending big money. They're supporting their artists. So I think everyone realizes now there's a future in on-demand digital talk, let's say, generally, or music, obviously. But 5, 7 years ago, 10 years ago, when Carolla went over there, remember, Carolla was the guy who followed Howard Stern west of the Mississippi. So Howard Stern went to Sirius, and west of the Mississippi, I think it was 13 or 15 big stations. Adam had the morning show, and David Lee Roth, east of the Mississippi. Now, neither of them lasted all that long, but if, 15 years ago, which was pretty much when Howard went to Sirius, if you are one of the two biggest radio guys in the country, in theory, on the FM side, who could take over for Howard, it's a sign you're a pretty big guy 15 years ago. For him, Adam, after that didn't succeed, to say, something, I'm sick of the bureaucracy, I'm sick. And again, when it comes to syndication like that, one of the great things about Fox, FSR here, they got their guys to handle it, and they do an amazing job. I'm not an expert at syndication. I just know I never feel a hassle about it, and we keep adding stations, right? We're the 225. Those guys do an amazing job. When you're trying to put together a patchwork syndication where it's a station at a time, every station's got some complaint. You keep hearing about that. We avoid that at FSR, congratulations. But Adam said at the time, oh, I'm sick of this. I'm just going to go record this in a garage and see what happens. And the fact that he's grown to where he is, got to give these guys credit. It's easy once it's hot It's when you do it initially, you get the credit. And I think Adam and obviously Rogan get that credit for sure. But they were two of the guys that I think that obviously have a big voice. And even a guy like Bill Maher, who is certainly on the left side of the spectrum.
Yeah.
The common sense guys seemed to really dislike where it was headed.
Yeah, and it was, and I wondered after the fact if it was they released the report to kind of gauge what the pushback would be, and then once they realized the pushback was real and it wasn't, it was no longer just divided politically. It was people looking at the economy, looking at their bank accounts, the small businesses, the communities out here. People were frustrated that the idea of being locked in for another 3 months was actually on the table of discussion, and so because of that, it started to really pick up fast. I mean, if you were to tell me 2 weeks ago, hey, we'd be in quote unquote phase three the day after Memorial Day, I'd say you were crazy the way it was looking. And now things are really picking up.
This reminds me of the movies where they depict the girl that says, I will never, ever, ever sleep with a guy on the first date, no matter what. So they have their first date and it's great. They're at the door. There's the lingering kiss. There's the lament. And then they part. And then the guy gets downstairs, calls on the phone and says, hey, you want to go on another date? And it's like, wait, well, I'll be up in 5 minutes. The phases move pretty fast here, I think. But what I'll say is this. If you listen to this show closely, one, we said this 6 weeks ago, 7, 8 weeks ago, which is you have to accept in life you're risking, you're taking a risk whenever you leave the house. Every time you get in the highway, every time you do anything, if you stayed in the house with armed guards, you would have less accidents on average than people who leave the house. Now, obviously, it's a spectrum. When you skydive, you're taking even more of a chance. And then if you're shooting heroin, you're taking more of a chance. There's all this spectrum of risk. We're all deciding every day, if we know it or not. I guess you're not deciding if you don't know it, but your actions are determining how much risk you're taking. And to act like no risk was the threshold, because life, not one life is worth losing over X. And X could be anything except for 10 lives. And it didn't make sense. Every decision that the government makes is affecting life and death. If it's directly from COVID-19 type deaths, or if it's from domestic abuse that stems from a guy who got, and not saying it excuses it, but a driver of it, he gets laid off, he starts drinking, starts beating her around. There's all kind of ways for there to be consequences. And it's not just about money as in let's make my pile bigger, but rather money to live, to eat. Every war that's ever been started pretty much is over the ability to survive, ultimately. You know, maybe you could talk about, you know, religious fights and such, and the strong religious people would make the case that's the only way they can live is with their religion winning. But whatever it is, people don't want to kill each other over things that don't matter. However vicious we are as a race, not a race, as humanity, right? Some people think we're super vicious. Others say it's the exception. Whatever it is, it's not for fun usually. There's not a lot of people that have fun in war. If you've spoken to anyone who's gone to war, and my dad's a Vietnam vet, I'm not. But it's not fun, right? They might. It's an, you know, it's something they do to live up to their country, to fulfill their obligation. It's not fun. So usually wars are fought over life and death type things. And to me, when you start getting to the point where people's ability to feed themselves or be proud of themselves is at stake, we're willing to take some risks. And I do believe that's the power of sports. There was a lot of people, I'm RJ Bell straight out of Vegas, that were saying, oh, you know, sports is nice, but no, you've got the governor of New York saying how important, that really carving out exceptions for sports. California obviously being driven by the love of sports. To me, that's not a bad thing. That's not a sign of shallowness. It's a sign that life has to be more than just surviving. And the fact that sports is at the center of that for so many people makes me happy about the job I have. So I don't see one thing about that that's less than positive.
Bottom line, sports is essential for some part of the population.
Well, you and your money.
Well, yeah.
But go ahead. Beyond that.
But, I mean, just to speak to the common sports fan, what does fan stand for? Fanatic. And mental well-being of a certain part of the population requires sports.
So you're saying that for a certain part of the population, they have to be fanatical in order to live.
They are fanatically. They need their sports.
Systematically scapegoated and demonized.
I mean, Fez just, he finds a way to crap on the little people regardless, doesn't he?
Like, every time.
You can have an inspiring talk. I mean, what you're saying is that fanaticism is a sign, really a variation of insanity, you're saying. It's irrational. And you're saying, let the plebs, they need their, you know, cheer. You know, like, in you sound like a Roman senator who would sit and say, give them feed the Christian, the lions, because those people are bloodthirsty. It's kind of like that, isn't it?
Yeah, I can see that analogy.
And he didn't even know he was doing it. What do you think of that? I always like to hear your perspective, because you don't know Fez like I know Fez. Any evolution in your thoughts on him based on that last statement?
I think that Fez is a great person. But I love, I love when these moments of him superior over the people below, meaning the fans, pop up from time to time. It's like it's the perfect pro wrestler, because you never know when he's going to turn heel, and it just pops up out of nowhere, and he doesn't even know it half the time.
Yo, homeboy, welcome to the hood, brother.
See, I mean, we're right on, Jonas. Let's do this. I'm going to tell you about that amazing Rick Bucher statement. I think it's a game changer.
Be sure to catch live editions of Straight Outta Vegas weekdays at 6 p.m. Eastern, 3 p.m. Pacific.
Straight Outta Vegas here on Fox Sports Radio is brought to you by AutoZone. AutoZone has more ways for you to get what you need when you need it. With their free same-day pickup, you can place your order online and grab what you need today at more than 5,700 AutoZone locations, in-store or curbside. Visit AutoZone.com today to start your job fast. Get in the zone. AutoZone. I'm Jonas Knox, voice of you, the fan. He is the voice of Vegas, RJ Bell.
Thanks, Jonas. You know, Fez, not only does the likelihood of sports seem much, much better, but it seems like the fan idea of being less than full capacity but having some fans, that's really picked up steam.
Yeah, we've gone from are there going to be games to how many fans are going to be in attendance when the game starts. Doesn't it feel that way?
So I think tomorrow we should really be digging into a couple of things, because they came out with the Football Power Index. I'm going to want to compare your rankings to what the ESPN Football Power Index is saying. Where's their disparities and why? But also, do we reevaluate this whole idea that there won't be fans? Because even if there's half fans, well, that's more than none. So let's do this. I'm going to quickly tell you a little bit about the Bucher, and then we'll get to it right after the break. Obviously, sports are looking good coming back. The question is, how motivated are the leagues? Some have seemed really motivated, others not so much. The PR pitch is going to be, well, we're going to weigh the risks because health is paramount, but the risks on one side and the benefits on the other. And oh, by the way, the benefits aren't just cash for us, but it's for the good of society, the fanatics, as Steve would call them. That's the PR side. Now, listen, we expect some BS. We're all adults here. We expect PR people to give us some BS. But last week on The Herd, Bucher really pulled back the curtain. And what he said makes all that not only BS, it makes us question so much of what we've even discussed or heard from the leagues in these last couple of months. So when we come back, we'll play it. You're going to be shocked.
That's coming up next. He's RJ Bell. I'm Jonas Knox. This is the pregame show you've always wanted right here on Fox Sports Radio.
Straight out of Vegas!
Fox Sports Radio has the best sports talk lineup in the nation. Catch all of our shows at foxsportsradio.com. And within the iHeartRadio app, search FSR to listen live.
I'm RJ Bell. We are Straight out of Vegas.
And I'm Jonas Knox, voice of You, the Fan. So, RJ, there's been a lot of talk about whether or not the NBA will come back, but it was Fox Sports NBA insider Rick Bucher who made a strong statement this past week.
Yeah, I mean, to me, this statement, I don't want to, let's just say this. It's less than a minute. Listen closely, and we'll break it down. Actually, you know something, Jonas? I'm going to need 1 second on that one. Let me ask you this. And here's the point that we'll get to with, and I'll just need 1 second to set up the cue here, is my question is this. If I would have asked you, honestly, not trying to be politically correct, but if I would have asked you, how much do the leagues, would they be willing to say, yeah, you know, this isn't best for the health of our players, but financially we need to do it? Because we all know money matters. Do you think that, and let's use the NBA for example, do you think when Adam Silver sits there so sanctimonious about the health of the players, is that something he really feels? Or do you feel like, oh, he wishes he could do that, but sometimes money's going to win?
I think Adam Silver's always been on the side of the players. I think he's always tried to be a players' commissioner. He's always tried to be a guy who was going to support the players and speak openly and defend the players as much as possible. I've felt this whole time the owners are the ones that really wanted to get back because they were going to feel the financial ramifications more so than anybody, and it was the players that were less, that were more hesitant to want to jump back in.
I think that's a fair assessment. Now, here's Bucher on the Herd. Listen.
If we want our sports to continue as we know them in some form or fashion, we have to get back to playing. And everybody knew it. You can't not have an NFL season unless you're willing to say, we're just starting from scratch on all these because all the TV money goes. And the whole salary cap structures are completely destroyed. You'd have to blow up the collective bargaining agreement. They're going to find a way to resume this season and get it back in place. Because if you don't, then it's very difficult to have the structure that you need to play next season.
Bucher on the Herd. Now think about those words. Blow up, destroy, difficult to even play next season. Everybody knew it. So what Rick Bucher is saying is that if at all possible, they were going to play this season, and if they didn't, if somehow they couldn't, if at all possible, but let's say they couldn't, that destruction would be wrought. Now, you might say, why? Why is it so important? What's he talking about? The logic is there, right? These agreements between the labor and the owners have not contemplated missing an entire season. And splitting up the losses, the amount of losses, that much pain, financial pain, is something that the players would have felt taken and hoodwinked if somehow they agreed, and the owners wouldn't be willing to lose enough to make the players not feel taken or hoodwinked. There'd be, it's like a divorce in which no side can accept it because it's just as bad as death or just as bad as anything, not death, but anything, and thus they never can really get past it. And if that, you know, we can say Rick Bucher doesn't know what he's talking about, but if you believe Bucher in general, that's what the stakes have been. And I haven't heard that, Jonas. What I've heard is that, yeah, we want to come back, but player health, it's like literally the survival of the leagues have been at stake. That feels very different than the narrative we've had. What do you think?
Yeah, no, and I believe Rick Bucher. I don't think he would make up something like that. It's a guy who covers the sport. You know, in a lot of ways, they butter his bread, so to speak. And the fact that he says, no, you don't really have a choice here. Financially, you need to figure this out and come back. I think the longer this has gone on, the more that that's become a reality. Remember LeBron James early on who said, man, if there's not fans in attendance, I'm not playing. His tune has changed in 10 weeks based on what we've seen.
And to me, the question we got to ask ourselves, we'll pick this up tomorrow, which is, what about all the yapping from the leagues themselves that are telling us nothing like that reality? So if this is true, this reality that Bucher just laid out, that this is life and death in a way for the leagues, isn't what any of the leagues have expressed. So they've been misleading us. And quite frankly, it's not what any of the shows have expressed. You haven't heard talk show X, Y, or Z saying it. And thus, everyone's been in on a big fugazi of telling us things that just aren't true. And it, to me, I'm not okay with it.
The Odd Couple is next on many of these Fox Sports Radio affiliates. We are straight out of Vegas. We are back tomorrow, 6 p.m. Eastern Time, 3 o'clock Pacific, right here on Fox Sports Radio. And as always, on the iHeart Radio app.
Straight out of Vegas!